It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Wednesday morning, everyone. It is the 29th day of January 2020. No shock to you. Another busy day. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Always my pleasure, especially when it's a busy news day, and certainly is. And our focus, as usual, on what's going on in Washington, D.C. The Republicans still doing a lot of hand-wringing this morning. The Trump defense team wrapped up their arguments yesterday, but now, if you've been watching any of the media, any of the coverage of all of this, the decision for some Republicans is to wind this thing up early, this trial, and I use that word kind of in quotation marks, the whole procedure that's gone over the last several months involving the president. And today there'll be the start of 16 hours of questions from the senators. But then the focus seems to be right now, what are 3 or 4 Republican senators going to do with the question of the Democrat demand for more witnesses? Democrats are demanding more witnesses. And so if you went to bed last night, you may have seen headlines saying that the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, being quoted from a closed-door meeting with Republicans saying he doesn't have enough votes to stop that Democrat campaign for more witnesses. Well, this morning the story is a little bit different. I want to let you in on that. Apparently last night there was another meeting of the Senate leadership, and according to reports this morning, they've come up with a couple of plans to counter that Democrat demand for more witnesses. Now, one of them is this. And they've kind of alluded to this over the last couple of days. They'll kind of give in to the demand that from Democrats that they want to hear from John Bolton. And I think you're probably very much aware now of the story that's developed over the last few days. There's a leak portion of the book that John Bolton has coming out that would seem to back what the Democrats are arguing, is that the president deliberately withheld money from the Ukraine until they agreed, the Ukrainians, to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. So the option is here, apparently being discussed. Okay, Republicans say, okay, we can hear from John Bolton, but in return, we're going to subpoena Hunter Biden and Congressman Adam Schiff. Now, the Hunter Biden thing you've heard about probably because he's the son of the former vice president who got a very lucrative paying job with a very discredited Ukrainian company while his daddy was vice president. The Adam Schiff ingredient in this is a little bit new in that they would call, the Republicans would subpoena him to appear. Now, he's the head. He's the head of the Democrat team trying to get the president impeached. They want him to testify because they believe he wasn't telling the truth when he testified that he didn't know who the whistleblower that got all of this started. So they want to talk to Adam Schiff about that. Now, the second option being considered, apparently, is for the White House basically to assert executive privilege to block all witnesses. Now, you know how the Democrats are going to respond to that. Of course, the Democrats have already responded. They only want John Bolton as a witness. They don't think anybody else the Republicans are suggesting have anything to do with this case. So that's where we are this morning. But the question seems to be, where are Republican senators like Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, Murkowski of Alaska, and Lamar Alexander of Tennessee. So those four are still out there. And I guess I have to wonder why the Republicans are still wavering at this point. The arguments from the Trump defense team are pretty solid, and they wrapped up yesterday, and it was very interesting. They did a couple of things in their wrap-up, which should, in my mind, if you were a Republican senator sitting on the fence, this should have done it for you. And one of the things that the Trump team did was play a montage of Democrats just like Nadler, who was part of the manager's team for the House Democrats, Chuck Schumer, who is now the minority leader in the Senate. They took the audience yesterday in the Senate back to 1998 when all these Democrats were talking like Republicans are talking today, that this idea of impeaching a president has absolutely no valid. Cut number five.
There must never be a narrowly voted impeachment or an impeachment supported by one of our major political parties and opposed by the other. Such an impeachment will produce the divisiveness and bitterness in
this
our politics
Nadler.
For years to come, and will call into question the very legitimacy of our political institutions.
This is unfair to the American people. By these actions, you would undo the free election that expressed the will of the American people in 1996. In so doing, you will damage the faith the American people have in this institution and in the American democracy. You will set the dangerous precedent that the certainty of presidential terms, which has so benefited our wonderful America, will be replaced by the partisan use of impeachment. Future presidents will face election, then litigation, then impeachment. The power of the president will diminish in the face of the Congress, a phenomenon much feared by the founding fathers.
This is a constitutional amendment that we are debating, not an impeachment resolution. The Republicans are crossing out the impeachment standard of high crimes and misdemeanors, and they are inserting the words any crime or misdemeanor. We are permitting a constitutional coup d'etat, which will haunt this body and our country forever. I warn my colleagues that you will reap the bitter harvest of the unfair partisan seeds you sowed today. The constitutional provision for impeachment is a way to protect our government and our citizens, not another weapon in the political arsenal.
I expect history will show that we've lowered the bar on impeachment so much. We have broken the seal on this extremely extreme penalty so cavalierly that it will be used as a routine tool to fight political battles. My fear is that when a Republican wins the White House, Democrats will demand payback.
That was absolutely amazing. That last one was Chuck Schumer. And when that montage was finished playing before the senators yesterday, one of the president's lawyers looked to Schumer and he said, "You know what? What you said back in 1998, this is what's happening today." As you listen to all those Democrats from 1998, you would have to agree. This is exactly what the Republicans have been saying over the last several months. And the Democrats apparently have a memory problem because they don't remember. They argued the same way Republicans are arguing today. And I go back to what I was saying a few moments ago. How is it that these four or five Republican senators sitting there watching all of this can still say, gee, we're just not sure. We maybe should have John Bolton in. They are falling into the trap, I think, a lot of people are saying, of the Democrats. Doug Collins is a Republican congressman from Georgia. He was on Fox and Friends just about an hour ago and talking about the House managers and the fact that they did not present a believable case. It's cut number eight.
problem they're having with is the clear and succinct is the Democrats didn't make their case. They've showed completely how flimsy the impeachment articles were coming from the House, and now Republicans are having to deal with it. And at the last minute, the timed leak of a Bolton possibility here, just because their case was so weak, is to try and sow some seeds of doubt in some of our members to say that they want to hear more. I think at the end of the day, when they look at the total case, they look at what has been presented and how badly it was done in the House and how poorly these articles were drafted. I think witnesses are not going to help this. No matter what happened, the president did nothing wrong. Ukraine got the aid, and there was nothing conditionality about it, and they did nothing to get it. So there's nothing here to do.
That's Congressman Doug Collins of Georgia. And by the way, during the interview this morning, he announced that he may run for a Senate seat in Georgia. But here's the point in all of this. So we're going to go to this question and answer period over the next 2 days, today and tomorrow. But then comes the question of asking for more witnesses, the Democrat demand for more witnesses, in particular John Bolton. And also their claim that any witnesses that the Republicans are suggesting, as I say, Hunter Biden or Adam Schiff himself, really that has nothing to do with the case. That's what the Democrats are saying. So we'll wait and see what's going to happen. I think Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, is working on these four holdouts, and we'll see what happens. But if there's going to be a vote on witnesses, likely it's going to happen on Friday. If McConnell doesn't get the backing of his fellow Republicans, then this trial could go on for another couple of weeks to allow for all these witnesses to come in. Now, there's also been a suggestion. I talked to you about a couple of options that are being reported this morning. The White House apparently has also argued that Bolton may have leaked the manuscript, of course, to improve sales of his book. And there's some talk about the senators going to an enclosed room and reading, all of them reading the book to get the context of the alleged accusation, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, the Democrats already dismissing that. Well, how's the president reacting to all of this? Well, he was out at a rally last night, a rally along the coast of New Jersey. And the focus of that rally was, of course, a Democrat who has turned Republican. They were lining up. Last night was Tuesday night. They were lining up Monday night at this rally. Now, I think the rally venue only held about 7,000 people. But the Republicans are saying there were 158,000 requests for tickets to get into this rally. 158,000 in this Democrat turf. The president last night, he was President Donald Trump, cut number 10.
They have spent the last 3 years, and probably even before I came down on that beautiful escalator with our beautiful future First Lady, trying to overthrow the last election, and we will make sure that they face another crushing defeat.
Now, there he is, as I say, very typical Donald Trump. He also had something to say about sanctuary cities, cut number 11.
Right here in New Jersey, your state's Democrat leaders have instituted sanctuary policies that result in dangerous predators being set free into your community.
Hey, listen, all of that to say that the president is going to keep on being the president of the United States, and he's going to continue on being President Donald Trump, the man that he is. So we wait to see. Hopefully by Friday this will be resolved, and we can launch into the real merits of what's happening this year, and that's an election. The Democrats, as a lot of people say, are simply trying to get Donald Trump off the ballot, because they know they don't have a field of candidates that can beat Donald Trump in this election. And really, that's what it's all about. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. So much more ahead, including CNN anchor Don Lemon trying to offer an apology for that absolutely grotesque segment on his show on Saturday night, where he had people mocking President Trump and his supporters, a la Hillary Clinton and Basket of Deplorables. Much more ahead here on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't go away.
The Word of God truly comforts, doesn't it? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with the hope of God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, we serve the under-resourced church all over the globe, and that includes those persecuted simply because they believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And as I meet with these heroes of the faith, not once do they ask me to pray for an end to their persecution, because they know that God is working through this suffering, He's strengthening their faith, and He's bringing many to Himself. And what they're asking for is the ability to endure, and you do that when you have a Bible. I was in Psalm 139 this morning. It says, Lord, you know all about me. You know when I rise up, when I sit down, everywhere I go, you know everything about me. And I thought, if you're persecuted, you need to be able to read that Bible verse. Amen? Hey, would you learn how to be a blessing in this kingdom work by visiting sendbiblesnow.org? That's sendbiblesnow.org, or call Bible League at 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Gina Haspel, Director of the CIA. She oversees the agency that gathers, processes, and analyzes information from around the globe to help keep our country safe. Proverbs 18:10 reminds us of God's protection for our country. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Gina Haspel as she works to help keep our country secure. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The American evangelist Franklin Graham has been banned from speaking at a major venue in the United Kingdom. Graham had been scheduled to speak at the Liverpool Center in June, but the convention hall canceled the engagement. City leaders cited Graham's belief that homosexuality is a sin and that marriage is between one man and one woman. Gay rights organizations were enraged and launched a petition drive. They said his evangelistic service might incite hate and put the gay community in danger, and so city leaders surrendered. Listen, folks, the LGBT movement does not want to just silence Christians. They want to punish you. They want to shut down your business. They want to destroy your career. They want to indoctrinate your kids. Why do you think public libraries have been invaded by an army of drag queens? I'm not surprised by what happened across the big pond. And you better get ready, folks, because it's going to happen in this country, too. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. You know, we've been talking about, of course, impeachment still making the headlines, the impeachment efforts of the Democrats against President Trump. And we're talking about the rally he attended last night in New Jersey. 158,000 people requesting to get into that venue, lining up on Monday night. People who waited 12 hours yesterday were not able to get in to that venue to hear the president last night. All of that to say, he's continuing on with his agenda, despite the storm of opposition that he faces, that he has faced, let's face it, since he became president. But yesterday, earlier yesterday, a major announcement at the White House from President Trump, the much-awaited Middle East peace plan that his people have been working on. He was there to announce the particulars. Here's a little bit of his announcement, cut number 9.
My vision presents a win-win opportunity for both sides.
a realistic two-state solution. We will not allow a return to the days of bloodshed. Peace requires compromise. Today's agreement is a historic opportunity for the Palestinians to finally achieve an independent state of their very own.
And one of those people in the room for the announcement was our good friend Gary Bauer of Campaign for Working Families. And Gary joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing great. You were in the room yesterday, the president outlining his plan for peace in the Middle East. It was a momentous period.
It was really incredible, Fred. I felt like I was sitting right in the middle of history, and I was honored to be one of a couple hundred people that were in the room, many of them members of Congress, ambassadors, people in the from both the Jewish community and the pro-Israel Christian community. I was there with Pastor John Hagee, who, as you know, has devoted his life to the idea of Christians supporting Israel. But what the president's done here is he's put a proposal on the table that the prime minister of Israel was happy to accept, and he put the ball in the court of the Palestinians. There is an opportunity in this proposal for there to be a Palestinian state. But the Palestinians, to get that, have to do a number of things that prove that they are capable of having a state, living side by side in peace with Israel, as the phrase has been said over the years. And I'll admit I'm skeptical that they'll accept it because there's so much hatred taught in the Palestinian schools. But nobody can say that the president and the prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, haven't tried, and we'll see how it plays out over the next couple of years.
What are some of the key elements of the plan? Go through that with us, please.
Well, one of the things we were very concerned about, you know, previous presidents have tried to divide Jerusalem literally in half. Not only is that not biblical, but I think it would have been a disaster. Essentially, Jerusalem is kept as the united capital of Israel. Now, there's a little slice of land that the Palestinians would be able to put their capital in. It's a very small piece of land, because to not have that would have been a non-starter, and you know everybody would have gone nuts about it. But both Ambassador Dermer, the Israeli ambassador to the United States, and Benjamin Netanyahu were perfectly happy to cede that little piece of land in exchange for keeping the major city of Israel, of Jerusalem, with all its religious sites intact. Gaza would have to be demilitarized. There would be a need to disavow all terror groups and to stop all subsidies to terrorists that kill Israelis and on occasion have killed Americans. In exchange for that, Israel will stop a new construction in Judea and Samaria over the next 4 years to see if the Palestinians are willing to start taking these steps. Now, if they don't take the steps, then all those sacrifices that Israel has been willing to make, that's all off the table. And then finally, if the Palestinians surprise us all and do these relatively simple things, there would be a $40 billion investment to bring the Palestinian people into the modern world. And it's not taxpayer money. The $40 billion would be investments by countries in the region, private businesses, and so forth. So here's a chance, you know, for the Palestinians to put the terror and the constant warfare behind them. The president has done what his enemies said he wouldn't do. Benjamin Netanyahu has made a great move here, and we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out.
You know, before I left the office last night, though, there was reaction from the Palestinians, and it was not positive. Basically, they threw down their hands and said, we're not interested. So I want to go back to something you said a moment ago. The fact that they would reject this maybe points to the fact that they were never interested in peace with the Israelis.
Fred, it's hard to generalize, obviously, but we can say with certainty that the leaders of the Palestinians, Mr. Abbas, who is in, I think, the 12th year of his five-year term, he has no interest in peace. He's in his 80s. He wouldn't know how to run a country if he had a country to run. Hamas and Hezbollah, they remain committed to a second Holocaust, to literally wiping Israel off the face of the earth. Now, there are some signs that there are people living in Gaza, living in Judea and Samaria, Palestinians, who would like to have peace. How many of them there are, whether they have enough to run a country, whether they can overcome this evil that we see regularly from Hamas and Hezbollah, that's the million-dollar question, and there's no way to know the answer to it, unless we put a proposal like this on the table and see what happens. I'm not surprised Abbas rejected it and Hamas rejected it, but I think there are young Palestinians that would like a better future, and this would be a path forward to that.
We'll have to wait and see on that. All right.
Yes.
Switching topics a little bit here, back to Washington, D.C., and the...
Must we?
I know. Well, the story this morning is about this question of witnesses, and last evening there were reports that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he didn't have the Republicans, enough Republicans, to support his bid for no more witnesses. But then this morning I see the possibility of a couple of ways out of that. Here's what I don't understand, Gary, is that, and we just played a clip of a montage of Democrats from 1998, all denouncing the idea, talking like the Republicans are talking today, about a flimsy excuse for an impeachment, and they were denouncing the Republicans in 1998. That was during the Bill Clinton impeachment proceeding.
Yeah.
But now they're denouncing the Republicans for saying exactly what they said 22 years ago. And so there's a couple of things. This doesn't make logical sense. But what is it about the Republicans that they cannot all get together, that they cannot see what most of us see, that this is a Democrat charade to get Donald Trump off the ballot for 2020?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of them like that are in states that are trending Democrats.
Mm.
And so those senators would tell you that, I've got to do this or the Republicans will lose this seat. And then what good does that do you? Because we could, you know, the Republicans could lose the Senate. So somebody like Senator Collins, I'm willing to give her a little bit more leeway than some of the others. But, Fred, I got to be honest. To see Senator Mitt Romney get elected from Utah, where he will be able to get reelected anytime he wants for the rest of his life, and he comes to Washington, and what does he do? He becomes another Trump basher.
Mm.
There's no, you know, shortage of Trump bashers in Washington. This is what Senator Romney wanted to get back into elected office to do. Or, you know, in Tennessee, Lamar Alexander has been very unpredictable. He's retiring. It's a conservative state. Why in the world would he even think about doing something that would end up giving aid and comfort to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Adam Schiff? I don't know. It's a sad thing to see, but you hit the nail on the head. The purpose of this enterprise is the ultimate voter suppression effort ever made in the history of the United States. They want to suppress the votes of 63 million Americans by not allowing those Americans to have the option of going to the ballot box and going to the voting place on Election Day in November and have as one of their choices to reelect Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. And it's disgusting. It's dangerous for the future of the country.
So let me put you in the chair of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. What do you do about this?
Well, I believe as the week goes on, you know, we're now entering the question and answer period. And as conservatives around the country are hearing that some Republicans are getting a little weak-kneed, I think calls are going to pour into Capitol Hill. And I'm still relatively optimistic. Remember, I work for Ronald Reagan. He required us to be optimists. I'm still somewhat optimistic that come Friday, there will be the 51 votes that Mitch McConnell needs.
All right, stand by. We'll wait and see. Gary, always great to talk to you. I am a fan of your end-of-day email. Get it every day. Tell us how folks can get that from your organization.
They can go to AmericanValues.org. americanvalues.org, americanvalues.org, and you can sign up there for our end-of-day report. And, Fred, I'm glad you're a fan. I always appreciate you mention it, and it's got wide circulation, including at the White House and on Capitol Hill. So I'm glad people feel that there's something there worth reading.
Absolutely. Have a blessed day, my friend. Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. Always a joy to have you with us.
Thank you. You too, Fred. God bless.
You take care. All right. Talked to you a little bit a few moments ago about what happened on Saturday night at CNN. Don Lemon on his program. He's got a couple of guests on that program, a reporter with the New York Times and a former GOP strategist, Rick Wilson. And they break out in hysterics, absolute hysterics, mocking President Trump and his supporters. All right, I want to play you a little bit of this. It's just 29 seconds of something that went on for 2 or 3 minutes. Cut number one.
Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is, you know, an administration defined by ignorance of the world. And so that's partly him playing to their base and playing to their audience, you know, the credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump.
Are you elitist with your geography and your maps and your spelling? Even though my
math and your reading.
Rick, that was a good one. I needed that.
Yeah, that's Don Lemon in the background, and he's doubled over in laughter at what these people are saying about the President of the United States and his supporters, all right? Calls this guest, West calls them rubes. Now, rubes, if you look up in the dictionary, is the definition is country bumpkins. That's what they think of you. And, of course, the New York Times reporters start mocking Trump supporters by a southern country accent, trying to put that on out there. Well, Don Lemon has caught a lot of heat for this, and he attempted last night to apologize. Let's make an assessment of his apology. Here it is, cut number two.
Ask anyone who knows me. They'll tell you. I don't believe in belittling people. During an interview on Saturday night, one of my guests said something that made me laugh. And while in the moment, I found that joke humorous. And I didn't catch everything that was said. Just to make this perfectly clear, I was laughing at the joke and not at any group of people.
Excuse me? The joke was about a group of people. Now, I'm sorry, Don Lemon, you can't not separate yourself. I was laughing at the joke, but I wasn't laughing at a group of people. It was all about mocking a group of people. Just like Hillary Clinton did in 2016 with her basket of deplorables, just like Barack Obama did in 2008, mocking people, Republicans, who cling to their guns and their Bibles. This is an epidemic inside these far-lefters. And this attempt at an apology, I was laughing at a joke, I wasn't laughing at a group of people. I tell you what, you heard what he had to say there. People aren't buying this. You know what? The American public, they're not buying this left-wing nonsense on these left-wing networks as well. Hey, the latest cable ratings came out this morning, folks. All right? The number one show on CNN, the show that got the highest rating, Anderson, Cooper Anderson. He's got the biggest audience for CNN shows. But he was 14 Fox shows behind. There were 14 Fox shows ahead of Cooper Anderson. The American public have had it, honestly. And that's why they cheer when President Trump holds these rallies and there's a bank of reporters right in front of him and he says fake news, fake news, fake news. The American public are getting it. And that's why they're not buying into this at all. Mainstream media, they hate President Trump, and they have absolutely no respect for those who support the president. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. What do you have to say about those Republicans? Can't make up their minds whether to end this impeachment process. Middle East peace process, the Middle East peace plan announced by the president yesterday. Is it going to work? And what do you think of these networks that continually mock the president and many of you? 888-589-8840. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred sitting in for Sandy. We'll listen to you when we come back.
For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. During opening statements by the impeachment managers from the House of Representatives on the floor of the Senate chamber, Congressman Adam Schiff spoke long enough to reveal the true objective of the impeachment charade. Schiff said, "The president's misconduct cannot be decided at the ballot box, for we cannot be assured that the vote will be fairly won." His comments once again confirm that the entire impeachment charade is an effort to create the only election results he and his regressive acolytes can trust. The ones when they win. This sham is their train to 2020. It's their only hope.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more.
This is Penny Weaver from Decatur, Illinois. Last year, we had the privilege of J.J. Jasper as our speaker. We had our largest fundraising banquet ever.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. God promises that if we are unjustly condemned, He will, in His time, come to our aid and deliver us from these attacks against us. We are seeing this played out in real time as President Trump's legal team masterfully defends him from false and manufactured accusations. His opponent said he will be impeached for all of history. No, he will be acquitted for all of history. If you have been falsely accused, take heart. God sees, God knows, and He will vindicate you in the eyes of the only people that matter. This will be your heritage as a servant of the Lord.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump has made the Palestinians an offer he hopes they can't refuse. The vision for peace he unveiled yesterday at the White House offered them the prospect of a state of their own and $50 billion in exchange for recognizing Israel and committing to live peacefully side by side with it. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Benny Gantz, his chief rival in their nation's past and upcoming elections, have endorsed the president's vision. What passes for the leadership of Palestinians, an unsavory assortment of thugs, corrupt politicians, and jihadists, have, however, categorically rejected it. It seems a safe bet that many other Palestinians might be more favorably disposed, but they lack the power and physical security to have any impact. Consequently, for now, there is a one-state solution for Middle East peace, and it's called Israel. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. We're going to go to our phones in just a second, 888-589-8840, but I did not want to wrap up the show today without giving a warning, because I know a lot of you are planning to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday, and there's always the question of the ads that are going to be run. So you're watching the Super Bowl, and you got your kids with you, and sometimes churches even have, you know, a big screen up, and they watch Super Bowl. Well, here's the headline on one of the ads that's going to be featured drag queens to make historical debut during Super Bowl. All right. Now, this is RuPaul's Drag Race. So you're going to have on the screen men dressed like women. And what they're promoting is the hummus brand Sabra. So a couple of things there. Why would this company want to present these people to sell their products? But also, and this has a little to do, I guess, with the day and age we live in, that a network would feel comfortable allowing this kind of ad out there. So, just a warning to you folks, I don't know when the ad is going to appear, but as you're watching this game on Sunday, watch out for this, especially the little kids in the room. You're going to be exposed to this kind of ad, drag queens, on your screen. So just be very careful. And the next time, if you're a hummus fan, you may want to think twice about the Sabra, S-A-B-R-A, brand of hummus. There are a lot of other brands. I love hummus. A lot of other brands that you can buy out there instead of that. All right, 888-589-8840. Let's go to our phones right now. Let's head first to King George, Virginia, and Holly. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning, Fred. I just wanted to make two comments about our president and about the whole Don Lemon situation.
Sure.
First of all, you know, President Trump was an international businessman before he became president. He did not need this job. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure he could find Ukraine on the map. I'm not quite sure they could. Is part of my thought on that.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing, as a business person, and I work really hard for my company and for my clients, what I appreciate about our president is no matter what they throw at him, he continues to work and to be about the people's business.
Yeah.
And that's something that our legislative branch is not doing, but he just doesn't stop.
No.
And I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, no, I think, thank you, Holly. I think God is blessing him for that because he is a president, unlike past presidents, both Republican and Democrat, promise things during election campaigns and then find reasons why they can't or decide not to do it. And in particular, the moving of our U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How many presidents have you heard over the years, both Democrat and Republican, on the election campaign promising they're going to move our embassy to Jerusalem? Never did it. Never did it. This president was high on his campaign agenda to do that, and he did it. He is different from any other president that we've had. He's a businessman. Street fighter. Other adjectives I know that you can use, but one thing he is, what we have learned in the last 3 years, he's a man of his word. When he says he's going to do something, he's going to do his level best, unless stopped by his political opponents, to do what he has promised to do. And whether you're Democrat or Republican, you cannot argue that. All the things that he's doing, border security, foreign policy, economy, all of those things are exactly what he promised to do during the election campaign. So he at least deserves credit for that. All right, let's go to Louisiana and Daniel on the line. Good morning, Daniel.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Could you turn on your radio?
Yes, sir. I'll turn it down. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay, Fred Jackson, sir. My comment is, yes, about these articles of impeachment, I don't think there's anything the president did that considered high crimes and misdemeanor.
Uh-huh.
So they are just wasting their time, really. And in fact, I think I'm for possibly impeaching some of these the congressmen and senators who are against the president. You know, if they're actually guilty of something, you know. So, and also, may I say a comment about the Israel deal?
Sure.
I agree with Frank Gaffney, who was just on. He said one state solution is really only the best thing. You know, I, with all due respect, I disagree with the president on this one.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't give the Palestinians any type of state because, I mean, God promised the land to Israel,
And, you know, so God bless you, sir. I thank you for your show.
All right, Daniel, we appreciate that. And, yes, there would be division inside the pro-Israel community on that issue of the president announcing part of his plan, a two-state solution. Many people do believe that all of that land belongs to Israel and Israel should not give it up. So, there's going to be a debate on that issue. But I think as we're talking to our friend Gary Bauer, the problem is the Palestinian leadership, and they've already done this. They've rejected what the president was proposing yesterday. And the main reason is they have no respect for Israel. They have no respect for the Jewish people. And that is the bottom line in all of this. And as Gary was suggesting, there is going to have to be a change in leadership within the Palestinian group, a change that would want to live with Israel in peace and would want to take advantage of countries around the world that are willing to invest in Palestinian businesses. But we'll have to wait and see. The Palestinian people are going to have to decide on that, on who their leaders are and what the agenda should be. To Clara in Houston, Texas. Good morning, Clara.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, go ahead. And if you could turn down your radio, please.
It's not on.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to ditto the lady that spoke before. I think two gentlemen. She said everything I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great president. He's not perfect. If Jesus Christ would have been on the ballot, yes, we would have all voted for him. But he wasn't. And all of this charade is giving us power because we are knowing exactly who these people are. Their masks are coming off, and we know that this nation is under God. They don't know because they don't want the blessings from God. They want their own lives, and then they are jealous of all of the community that believes in Jesus Christ and his protection and his blessings upon their lives. That's what this is all about, robbing the Christian community of this country from the blessings of God, and that is not going to happen. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right, Claire, we appreciate those words very much. Listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning, Fred Jackson sitting in. Let's continue our calls and head out to Ohio. And Jason is on the line. Jason, welcome to the program.
It's a great show, sir. As usual, it always stirs me up and great blessing. I was just calling to comment about the politically incorrect jokes that the left is doing. I think it's great. I don't like it. Of course, personally, I don't like it. But we've got to show them that we are allowed laughter. We allow the First Amendment to free flow. And that we may disagree, but please, let's keep it in laughter. And let's keep it in the realm of ideas, because I see a part of our country being as divided as in the 1840s, maybe 1850s. And if we don't keep it light, if we don't get back to at least Jeffersonian freedom, maybe not biblical, totally biblical like Jefferson, not totally biblical, but free, we're going to end up being in a hot civil war. Because if we're not able to laugh, because political correctness on the left means like our cake bakers and so forth, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the exercise thereof, even if it's stuff we don't like, it means losing your house. And it could go both ways, right? We can say you make fun of a group of people. If you make fun of whatever group of people, we're going to take away everything you got, like physically, take away everything. And that's what the left does, but that's not what we do. We don't like it that you're making fun of us, okay. We don't agree. We don't think we're bumpkins. We don't think we're rubes. But, okay, hey, have your freedom. Enjoy it. That's what's from the Bible, by the way.
Yep.
God allowed Lucifer to have freedom of speech and thought, at least for a time in eternity. Now, we don't know what time exactly is in eternity, but at least for a season, whatever a season is in eternity. And he allowed the snake to talk in the garden. And so let these snakes, as long as we don't move to action,
yes,
biting the fruit, if they don't really go to take away our guns, because we've learned from Rome, throw them to the lions, right? That's what they said in 2008. Throw the Christians to the lions in California. We've learned from Rome. We've learned from China, North Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia. Once you disarm law-abiding citizens, take away their gun, take away their Bible, then genocide, then slavery.
Absolutely.
So we've got to encourage the left. Please laugh. Please do. We don't like it, but we're going to laugh. We're going to make fun, too. We're going to make fun. Let's have a First Amendment, but don't take away our guns.
All right, Jason, appreciate that very much. You know, it's been said over and over again, elections have consequences, but also our words have consequences. And Don Lemon and many of the folks there at CNN are suffering the consequences of their mocking of President Trump and his followers. They are. Just talked a few moments ago about the latest ratings coming out. And, you know, CNN continues to lose an audience. And a lot of it has to do with their blatant bias against the president and their mocking of the president's followers. Many of them are Christians. And, you know, they have the freedom to do that. And no one wants to take that freedom away. But questions are asked, why are you doing this? You are losing audience for business reasons, if for nothing else, for business reasons. Why do you continue programming that's driving your audience away? The only reason I can give for that is that they are so dedicated to their far-left ideology that they're willing to lose an audience in order to keep preaching their far-left ideology. It's the only way I can explain it. Texas, good morning, John in Texas. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you, Zabe?
I'm doing great.
I had a little bit of an odd connection with the impeachment, and I've been actually going back and looking at the Republican primaries. And I think what is going to happen, and I've actually heard this just sort of rumor floating around under the table, that what the ambition actually is for the impeachment hearings is not to get Trump out of the election, but it's to get Trump out of the primaries. And it's possible, because, as you know, some of the primaries have been canceled for the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the impeachment will wrap up just before Super Tuesday without enough time for anybody to go out and campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible that what's going to happen is they're going to give a presumption or an appearance of the Republican Party being split in two over the impeachment, and that there will be no committed votes, and that we're going to walk into the presidential nomination with no committed votes to anyone in particular, and we'll see a brokered convention that will go swing to Kasich.
Mm.
As you know, last time around, Kasich, this is getting too technical, but Kasich ran all the way through until he forced Cruz out, and Kasich very early on said, I'm not going to run because I don't have any chance of winning. Well, last time he ran all the way through virtually with no chance of winning at all, but he hung in there. So there's a contradiction there. And he also, he also announced that he was not going to be running, or he didn't say he wasn't going to run. He said, right now I don't see a path to victory. At about the same time that John Cornyn, the Texas senator, who was supposedly in favor of Trump, pulled out, and really his of his position as whip, and allowed the South Dakota senator, Truitt, I believe his name is, to come in. And he's an extreme liberal Republican against Trump.
Yeah.
So,
John, we're about out of time here. That's an interesting scenario. Appreciate you bringing that forward. I just don't see it. I don't see a division to that extent amongst Republicans. It's certainly not showing up in the huge crowds that keep showing up for President Trump wherever he goes, even into more liberal states. So we'll have to wait and see. I think this week is going to be another historic week. What are the Republicans going to do? Are they going to stand up to the Democrat demand for witnesses, in particular John Bolton? Or are they going to cave in, which means the trial will continue for another while? And dear knows what's going to happen after that. All right. Been good to be with you. We have more great programming coming your way here on American Family Radio. Once again, pleasure to sit in for Sandy. She'll be back in the chair tomorrow. Have yourself a great and blessed day. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.